Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to day two of the Muslima Self-Care Conference. And kicking us off early this morning is Sister Zahra Zed Abdul Karim, who is here to talk to all our high-flying, ambitious, go-getting sisters, whether they're entrepreneurs or professionals. And your talk is going to be about breaking the boom and bust cycle. Is that right, Sister Zahra?
Yes, it is, Sister Naima.
Okay, girl, then I'll let you take it away. I'm not going to talk too much. The only thing I'm going to say, y'all, hold on a second. Only thing I'm going to say is I know it's early for some of us, but let's get that chat popping, okay? Let's see some salams in the group, where you are calling from, where you are watching from, and whether you're a professional or an entrepreneur and all that good stuff. If this is not your first time, you know, this is not your first session, let us know. I've been here for the whole conference. If it's your first session, then let us know. Yeah, this is my first one and I'm looking forward to it. Like, I want to see that chat lighting up before we start, Sister Zahra. Okay, don't start until these ladies get their fingers moving, inshallah.
Good, good. I love that. I love that. Alhamdulillah. So, assalamu alaikum, everybody. As Sister Naima said, let us see the chat popping. Inshallah. Let's see, where's everybody dialing from? Wa alaikum salam. So I'm looking down because I have my, I have the chat down here. I'll be looking at it. Oh, ooh, from Denmark, mashallah, West Yorkshire. So I would really like to know the demographic that we have here. Who here is an entrepreneur? Who is a professional? Who is both? Who's a professional and also running a side business? I would love to know. I would love to know that as well. So if you let us know what you consider yourself to be. Wa alaikum salam, Sister Rahima. So are you an entrepreneur? Are you a professional? Are you both a professional running a side hustle as well? So one person has said they're an entrepreneur as well. Yeah? Okay, bismillah. All right, so we're going to get started, inshallah. Was a GP researcher now looking to be an entrepreneur, inshallah. So making that transition, alhamdulillah. Brilliant. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So I'm really, really, really excited to be running this workshop today, particularly because of the topic. And this is a topic that is very, very close to my heart because I consider myself to be a recovering adrenaline junkie. And for me, what it means to be an adrenaline junkie is somebody who literally thrives off of the buzz, thrives off of the buzz. That dopamine hit you get from, you know, it's like doing something so huge, you're afraid, you're excited, and you like, there's no going back. You're just pushing, pushing, pushing. And you're literally living off of that high, that buzz. And that may seem to be a good thing because you can, you know, you're fearless in those moments. You can do amazing things. You do fantastic projects. You deliver. But the downside that I experience of being an adrenaline junkie is the crash that comes after the boom. And that's why this session is that boom and bust cycle, how to break that cycle. Because what then happens is you spend months on a project booming, you do something amazing. Once you have reached your goal, once you've hit and achieved that thing that you want to deliver, you just crash. And it's so difficult to get back up. You have high highs, but low lows. And that's a very hard place because to get out of a low is very difficult. If anybody here has experienced burnout, you know what I mean when I say that it's difficult to get yourself back up when you have burnt out. And so this decade, when I, well, my last big bust, my last big burnout was in 2017. And, you know, that I would say was the bust that changed it all. Because when I was recovering from that burnout episode, I tried to go back to my usual self, my buzzing self, my this, my that, but my body, I don't know whether it's old age or what, my body had just had enough. And even trying to think, even trying to think would make me exhausted. That is how burnt out I was. That is how low I had gone. And so it was very hard for me to get back up. The things that I would usually do to get myself pumped, my body was just not, was having none of it, was having absolutely none of it. I could not force myself. I couldn't force myself to perform anymore. I couldn't force myself to perform anymore. And so I really had to take a step back and allow my body to heal. So many of us put our bodies through so much for such a long, prolonged period of time, but it will get to a point when our bodies will say no more, and it will collect its hack. It will collect that. It will collect its rights from us. It will collect its right from us. And for me, it took me 2 years. That this is no joke, sisters. It took me 2 years to recover from that burnout episode fully. It took me 2 years to recover from that burnout episode fully. And when I got back to work in 2019, I made a commitment to myself. I made a promise to myself that as I re-enter this world of entrepreneurship, of trying to rebuild my business, I need to make sure I am looking after this vessel. I am looking after this body. I am working in a way that doesn't harm myself. And so that's where, for me, my real self-care journey, my conscious self-care journey when it comes to being an entrepreneur, being a mother, being someone that has multiple passions, being a serial entrepreneur, really kicked in for me. Because it wasn't a thing of, this is like a nice to have. It wasn't, my self-care was not a nice to have. It was necessary. It was absolutely vital to my well-being. It was absolutely vital to the success of my business. And so, you know, I really wanted to hammer on that point, because so many of us, we have so many balls in the air all the time. We're juggling everything all the time. We're hardly sleeping. We're not looking after ourselves. We're doing. Particularly people who even have day jobs, who are trying to run their businesses. Maybe the business is still young, and so maybe it's not making enough for you to really live off of it. So you're literally feeding that business from another source of income. And so you're spread thin. You're spread thin. And I think that that period between 2017 and 2019, when I was really trying to refine myself, one of the things that I realized and I really had to come to terms with was, you can have it all, but not at the same time. You can have it all, but not at the same time. And so something has got to give. Something has got to give. You need to pace yourself. And I shared this last week in my Soulful Friday letter when I was reflecting on what is the biggest lesson in self-care that I have learned over the past 10 years plus of running a business or another. And it's really to pace myself. No one is chasing you. Stop rushing. No one is chasing you. Nobody is chasing you. And so I wanted to really just reiterate that yes, you can have it all, but not at the same time. Something has got to give. And we will examine this a little bit later on, inshallah. But before we jump into that, the first thing that I wanted us to talk about is, what does a boom look like to you, and what does a bust look and feel like to you? And I'm curious to know from our audience, is there anybody who would consider themselves to be not necessarily an adrenaline junkie, or somebody who thrives off of adrenaline or the pressure or being in a high pressured environment? Because the other thing, yeah, I want to know what that looks like to you. And then I can share a bit more about some of the detrimental aspects of being in a boom and a bust cycle, as opposed to what I would call a blooming cycle, where you're, you know, you're in a good ebb and flow. So is there anybody here who feels like, yep, they are like that as well? They thrive off of the pressure, off of adrenaline. I'm interested to know. If you're not one of those people, please also share in the chat section. Sisters, if you are somebody who thrives off of the adrenaline, or if you're not somebody, if you're somebody who, you're that chill in life, you don't stress. You used to, Sister Naima. Interesting. Yep. So I'm really interested, Sister Naima, when you say you used to, what changed?
Ah, sure, I couldn't do it anymore.
See, it caught up with you.
Yeah. I think there are a few things. There's, I think, age. I think changing life circumstances as well, because when it's like when you're in that sort of boom, typically there are things around you that are supporting you to keep going and going and going and going, whether that is home help or your kids are a particular age, or, you know, your husband's really supportive, or, you know, like whatever it is, the situation outside is low pressure. But let one of your kids fall ill, for example, with the audubillah, you know, let your home help not be able to come anymore, you know, let the children come home for homeschooling, you know, because they can't go to school. And all of those factors mean that it's you, what you were doing before is no longer sustainable, and you have to look and see, there's actually only one of me. Yeah. How am I going to share this out between everyone? I think that basically rising demands from those around me meant that I had to reconfigure.
I totally agree. And also what I said earlier is that it will get to a point when you physically, mentally, emotionally cannot sustain it. It is not sustainable. It is not, adrenaline is not a sustainable fuel to fuel your body. Isn't a sustainable source of energy to fuel your body. So you can only do it for a short period of time, but it will get to a point when you cannot do it anymore. I feel taking it calmly and cool. What's that? I feel taking it calmly and cool is part of growing up for me. I love that. So I, you know, a bit of background for you all. I was born and bred in the UK, but we moved back to Nigeria when I was 9, and I lived here for about 5 years. And Nigeria, I loved Nigeria as a kid, because I have a natural competitive spirit, and it fed that from a young age, because you have like positions in school and this and that, you're graded, you know, before you can move on to the next grade, you pass exams, and I topped my class throughout the time I was here. But that was only because I found it tapped into that competitive spirit for me. And so I loved that pressure of, you know, trying to achieve that position, for example. And also my parents as well, you know, I share this story all the time that, you know, when you come home and you have 90% on the test, my dad isn't going to pat you on the back. He's not going to be like, wow, well done, fantastic, you're a star. You know, he's going to be like, what happened to the remaining 10%? If, you know, have you done your corrections? If you do that exam again, would you get 100%? At that point, we're like trying to escape from the room, but it fed this behavioral trait of never being satisfied with my achievements, never being satisfied with anything that I have done, because I always look at the 10% or the 5% that didn't go well, and I beat myself up for that. And I'm constantly focusing and obsessing over that 5%. So that's another thing that I would say is like a precursor, because what I would like us to do is kind of examine some of the things that have been ingrained and coded into us that drive us to keep driving ourselves into the ground. Yeah. And so that's what I would like us to look at now. What are those ingrained beliefs? What are those things from our past that is forcing us to operate in a cycle that is not beneficial for us? What are those ingrained things that is forcing us to operate in a cycle that is not beneficial for us. So one of the questions that I would like to know, if there are people in this room, I can see there's one chilling sister, but if there are people in this room that tend to drive themselves to a point of burnout, that constantly tired, constantly thrive, pushing, why do you push yourself to a point of burnout? Why do you feel it's necessary? Why do you feel it's necessary?
You know, Sister Zahra, you know, when you said about what happened to the other 10%, I can so identify with that, because I think I was like you. I also grew up in Africa, in Zimbabwe, and, you know, thrived off the competition element of school, and did very well with it. You know, really brought out the best in me. And I do remember having a 98% on a test, and my dad was like, what happened to the other 2%? So I think for me, one of the things that continues, that underlying belief, is that if you don't push yourself, you will not achieve your potential. And your potential is much more than what you are doing now.
Yeah. Sister Naima, you have literally just copied and pasted some notes from my therapy class.
Oh, wow.
Literally that. That, exactly that. Yeah, what scares me, and one of the things that I've written down here, number two, not living up to my immense potential.
Whoa.
Number two.
Wow.
Number two, not living. Number one is burning out again. So the thing, when I really dug deep to do some of this soul work this year, I had to really, really address this issue. What was the number one thing that was scaring me? Burning out again. Because it's a horrible experience. It's a horrible experience because you literally feel paralyzed. And exactly what you said about, you know what you can do. You know your potential. You know that, you know, you've got this, you know. And I would say that I had to mourn the Zahra of my past. I had to really mourn the Zahra and let go and just realize that I will never again be able to do the type of things that I did then. Not because I'm physically capable, because even if, like, when I try to do it, it's so painful, because it's just not how your body and soul, it's not how your soul is meant to work. I don't know if that makes sense. You're not supposed to be putting yourself under that kind of immense pressure. It's just not sustainable and not healthy. And so I really had to let go of that image of Zahra who could juggle 10 different things at a time and do it well, and I'm everywhere. Like, I remember my friends would literally call, like, would say, ah, Zahra, your energy mama, you know. And my coach was even saying that, oh my God, Zahra, you're like Sprite. She was saying it, that you're like Sprite that's been fizzed up. Like, the energy is so much, but once the fizz has gone, you're just flat, because you've literally just blah, exploded all your energy away. And you need to learn how to hone in. You need to learn, and this is where this, you know, this whole breaking that boom and bust, fizz, buzz cycle, you need to learn how to hone in your energy and release it in a sustainable, healthy, balanced way with grace. And that's one thing that I would like us to talk about in this workshop. How can we get to the point as professionals and as entrepreneurs, as moms, as wives, as women who thrive, where we're not thriving on a negative type of energy, on a stress-based energy. It's not stress and pressure that's pushing us, but it's this sense of balance and calm. You're getting your energy from a place of knowing who you are, of honoring yourself, of deep commitment, of deep connection, of being aligned with your values. This ebb, this flow state, that is where I would like us to get to. But we need to be conscious that that exists, because so many of us don't even realize that that exists. So many of us don't even realize that we don't need to be doing everything. We don't need to be doing everything. And this idea of, you know, oh, I'm not going to be living up to my potential, something that I said on Friday about missing out an opportunity. And so we continue to push and overextend ourselves, because we feel like we're going to miss out. that is actually a scarcity mentality, and we need to move to a place of knowing that you are going to commit yourself to the best. You only have the capacity to do a few things well. You can do loads of things at the same time, but how many things can you really do and commit to and do well? Not 100 things at a time. So, okay, let me have a look at the chat section and see if anybody has replied my comments. Okay. Okay, so nobody here yet has shared whether they push themselves to burnout and what causes that burnout. Do we have any? Is it only Sister Naima on the call?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, let's just ask. Order. All right, ladies, y'all know how it goes, okay? We're not here to just listen to be lectured to or talked at. This is a workshop, which means y'all got to do some work, okay? So please, inshallah, if you are currently multitasking, stop. If you're currently on other tabs listening to the talk, shut them off. And inshallah, engage so that you can take something from today's talk that you will actually be able to put into action afterwards. Because you know what it's like, guys? If we just listen, often it goes in one ear, out of the other. You kind of feel good because, yeah, you know, I signed up for a workshop, I was there. But if you don't sit and commit and do the work, I'd actually engage with what the workshop leader is presenting, is asking you. The truth of the matter is you are not going to get the benefit. And I want everyone who's here to get the benefit. You know why you came here. Allah knows why you came here. So if you can be engaged, you're going to get what you need from this session. If you're not that engaged, then you're not going to get what you need from this session. So I want to give everybody, just to ask them the question again, please, Sister Zahra, so that everybody can kind of, catch themselves up again.
So the question that I had was, you know, has anybody here experienced burnout, or does anybody here feel that need to continue to push themselves? And so why is that? Why do you feel that need to continue to push yourself until you're burnt out, until you're literally in the ground? Why? What is it that makes you feel like, oh, I need to keep pushing, I need to keep, you know, activity, I can't take a break? What is it? You know, one of the sisters has shared that, you know, a wife to a Yoruba brother, three kids, mashallah, you know, and she's experienced everything that I've spoken about. Sister Rahima seems to be on this journey, has this journey on lock, because she's not only said that she feels that, I feel taking it calmly and cool is part of growing up, that's fantastic, but she doesn't allow herself to burn out. She takes time out weekly and monthly. And I guess the question that I have there is that something that you've always done, Sister Raima, or is it, I don't know what's going on, my chat's uploading here. Is it something that you've always done, or is that something that came out of something? Was that born out of something?
May I just say, Sister Rahima is the queen of self-care. I've known her for several years. We've worked together. Wow. And mashallah, she is the queen of self-care. She has been for a while, mashallah. When did you start, Sister Rahima?
Sister Naima, please, can you make my second phone a panelist? I'm not seeing the... Sure. The messages are going to just panelists.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's a big problem. Guys, when you're making your comments, please make sure that you say to panelists and attendees. That's attendees, for some reason, yeah. It's a bit annoying because Zoom doesn't, it's not clear that sometimes you'll be making a comment and it's actually only being
going.
Yeah, there you go.
So thank you, sis. I think that's happening as well. It's popping up, but it's not, I'm not seeing it. Because I want to read, I'm seeing some nice comments coming in. So the fact that I work far from home gives me a physical stress, yeah? And the thought of not always being available for my kids as much as I want gives me mental and emotional stress, subhanAllah. Yeah. I started when I realized I can't continue to say yes to almost everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's it. Remember what our sisters shared I think the fear of failure drives me to burnout. Yeah. I think what our sister said last week about, you know, no is a full sentence is so important, because I remember I used to apologize every all the time. And I think it was sometime this year or last year, I said, you know, I'm going to stop apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry, I didn't see a message. Oh, sorry, oh, sorry. So always apologizing. And literally, I would get to a point where I'll write why I couldn't reply, why something happened. And I would already be typing that I'm sorry, and I'll just remove it. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I would have already typed it, and I'll just remove it. You know, and that's part of owning your choices. Owning your choices and saying, I'm sorry, I can't make this. No, you know, I'm sorry, I cannot make it. I don't have the capacity to. I can't speak at this thing. I don't have the capacity to. You know, I'm really owning your decisions and not guilting yourself for making decisions that serve you and help you to stay grounded. Yeah? Okay, I'm seeing some more comments coming in. This is what I like. All right. I used to burn out myself in pleasing others, cooking, cleaning, putting myself last. I'm still pushing myself in cooking and cleaning because it's become kind, just want to get over and done with it. Okay. That's tired, but I just read something about stopping too much. Sorry. What I'm doing, bulk cooking, make it easier. Yeah, perfect. So what I started doing when it comes to food, because food really stresses me out, I literally bulk order. I bulk order my soups and all that so that I don't have to be stressing about what to cook for dinner.
Sister Zahra, if you don't mind reading the comments fully that the people in Facebook can hear them, and also when people watch the replay, they won't see the comments. So if you can read the full comments, that would be really helpful.
Okay. So I've seen, I think I read this one out loud. Sister Latifa said, I think the fact that I work away from home gives me a physical stress, and the thought of not being always available for my kids as much as I want to gives me mental and emotional stress. So we'll definitely have to speak about that, inshallah. Somebody has said that Sister Rahima started her self-care, you know, journey process when she realized that she can't continue to say yes to almost everything. Sister Jamila has said that I think the fear of failure drives me to burnout. Yes, that's a huge one. And I've also written that down as well. The fear of failure, that's actually a limiting belief. Will drive you to be pushing yourself because you're afraid of failing. And the funniest thing about that fear of failure, sisters, is that one thing that I realized from, you know, being an adrenaline junkie and pushing myself too much was that when you end up busting, when you end up burning out, that sense of failure can consume you to the point of it skewing everything, because when you burn out, you physically cannot act. You don't have the ability, the energy, the capacity, anything to act. And so literally pushing yourself, burning out, drives this fear of failure, because there are literally periods in time when you're incapable of doing the things that you need to do. And the other thing that I found with thriving off of adrenaline is that when you don't have something extremely exciting to push you and drive you, you can't act. And what that means is like you don't know how to do the mundane things. I say mundane, but you don't know how to do those little consistent things that is necessary and essential for you to grow your business, because it's not exciting enough. And so a lot of time, if you're an adrenaline junkie, there's a lack of follow through there, where you start a project, you'll do the exciting part of the project, and then you will just be like, oh, it's not working anymore. You know, that you've lost the buzz, it's not exciting. And so you want to quit. And that also drives that, you know, oh, you know, I'm going to fail if I quit, and the back and the forth, when really you just need a break. You just need a break, but you're unable to continue putting in the work. You can't put in that work consistently. You're not following through. You start and stop projects. you don't see, you know, things to the end. And it drives that sense of, oh, failure, I'm not living up to my potential. Oh, there's this project I started. It should be, you know, Amazon by now. There's this other one, the idea. Ah, look at this person. We started at the same time. Look at how they've taken their business to, and look at where mine is. You're not putting the necessary and required energy into it. Your hair, your jump, you're all over the place, trying to do too much, not following through. And that also feeds into this, into all those limiting beliefs and all those psyches and all those things that are going on. So trust me, sisters, by you not taking the time out, by you not pacing yourself, by you not incorporating this calm energy, this rest into your work, by you not being consistent and committed and consistent in your work, that actually feeds into that narrative of, you know, it's not working, it's not successful, I'm not living up to my potential, etc. I'm seeing some comments coming in. I'm loving it.
Sister Zahra, can you stop reading us, please? Can you stop reading us?
Oh my God. You stop reading? I'm just telling you what I do. Literally,
this is like my own personal therapy, guys. I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's reading me. Did we have a session? Did I tell her anything? What's going on? How come she's speaking to me right now? And Laika knows, that's why she's laughing.
Oh, subhanAllah. I'm so happy that
Get to those comments. Get to those comments. There's
a lot of women who see themselves as, you know, high performing, thriving women. We all do this thing. We all do it. We all do it. SubhanAllah. Okay, so I'm seeing some more. I used to burn myself out in pleasing others, cooking, cleaning, putting myself last. I'm still pushing myself to cook and clean because it's just necessary and you have to get it done. And what Sister Taiba started doing is, you know, doing the bulk thing. So Sister Rima has kind of reiterated what I said about feeling guilty when you can't keep up. Rahima has also said, whilst I do not thrive on adrenaline, I still get stressed and burnt out. Working till 3 a.m., 2 hours of sleep, kids, school, home, subhanAllah, it can feel like an endless cycle. Yes, 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 yes. And that about sleep, I'm going to talk about it, about knowing your triggers, subhanAllah. We have to get to that, inshallah. Yay, Sister Linka saying word. That's so true. I've never burnt out really. In business, I only do what I can. At the office, I apply for my leave as soon as I start feeling too tired. I don't like stress. Yep, you don't like that stress life. Absolutely true. People are resonating with what I shared just now. Alhamdulillah. Sister Naiva is telling me to stop reading you. The fear of failure got me early this year. Literally had to go speak to a professional. In my mind, I was letting everyone down. And I was disappointed, and I was a disappointment because I was failing in my mind. It is horrible. So true. So what Sister Rahima has said here is where I was in 2017 after my burnout episode. My burnout episode led to depression. And it was this sense of failure that consumed me the most. This sense that I had put in all of this energy for a project. I had put my 100 into that project and I felt that it failed to the standard that I wanted. Everyone else around me was like, it was amazing, blah, 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 blah. But with every person who told me it was amazing, I further went into the pressure because I was like, you guys should just leave me alone. It was not amazing. This happened, that happened. Exactly what I shared earlier about focusing on the 5 to 10% that didn't go well. And I had literally blown it up. And it took over everything. It took over everything. This sense of failure, low self-worth, everything. It was just like, it was horrible. And I went through my season of healing and really realizing that. And that's why I told you guys, it took 2 years, really realizing that I needed to fundamentally change how I approached my business because I had my sense of self was directly linked to my business. And so if anything went wrong in my business, I felt that it was a personal attack on myself. If anybody gave me feedback that was not necessarily positive, I felt that they were attacking me and my character. sector. And I had to detach my sense of self from my business's success or failure, thereabouts. And I had to do so many other things in that process that we can't necessarily go into here. But I wanted us to really examine this question of why is it that we push ourselves to fail? Then the other question about what is it that we are afraid of? What is it that we are afraid of? Because a lot of people are saying here, resonating, fear of failure. What is it that you're afraid of? Is it failure? What is it? Not living up to your potential? And I have shared, I will share some of the stuff that I had written out. And it was a long list of things when I did my soul work at the start of the year, because I really needed to shift. So I've written here, burning out again, not living up to my immense potential, not fully utilizing the blessings Allah has given me, putting in so much effort into my work and not reaping its rewards, not getting it right as a parent, choosing the wrong path. So this happens for people who are serial entrepreneurs, people who have so many things that they could be doing, who are multi-potentialites or multi-talented, whereby you're like, but I don't know which one to do. And so we do everything. So sometimes there's that fear of, okay, I know I need to commit, but what if I pick the wrong thing? So choosing the wrong path, wasting time, money, and effort pursuing the wrong thing. So you choose the wrong path and then you waste time, energy, effort, money, everything, pursuing the wrong thing. Not being able to afford the simple luxuries in life, being a financial burden on my husband, missing opportunities, and being a has-been because of fear and lack of follow through. So those were some of the things that were driving my, that was driving my need to be trying to do it all. And so I would really advise everybody after this workshop to take some time out to do that self-analysis and really ask yourself, what is driving this need to be superwoman? What is driving this need to do everything? What is it that I'm afraid of? Put it down on paper. What am I afraid of? And then you'll be able to start to see and uncover those limits and beliefs that are holding you back. And for me to be able to transition away from this boom energy to what I'm calling a blooming energy, this effortless. Like when I think about blooming, I think about the way a flower blossoms effortlessly. So moving from boom, where you're like brute force, you're like a boxer, to being a flower, you're just there, effortless, blooming. I had to address those limiting beliefs that were driving me to keep driving myself into the ground. And I've already shared them here with you, but the biggest one for me was that it was fear that was holding me back. Yeah, so I wrote down here, I realized this week that one of the biggest fears holding me back was rooted in the limiting belief that my coaching and personal development business cannot be financially successful. I realized through this exercise that was the fear speaking 100%. And the reason why I shared this with you is because we're going to get into this space now where we need to figure out one of the biggest, okay, I'll say it now so that I can then come back to it again. The biggest tool, and this is what I shared self-care is to me, the biggest tool I have been able to use to remain grounded, and aligned is by listening to my mind, my body, and my spirit. And I shared that self-care to me, where is it? Where's my, let me get the quote out properly so I don't misquote myself. SubhanAllah. Where is it? I shared it yesterday. I wanna make sure that, turn me on. I wanna read it word for word. Sorry guys, just a second. Fariha. Okay, bismillah. Okay, so I shared yesterday, self-care to me is being in tune with my mind, my body, and my spirit. It's asking myself, what do I need to feel grounded in this moment, and honoring myself by acting on the answer. And so a lot of the work that I have been doing this year is about being in alignment. Being in alignment with my mind, my body, and my spirit. And at the start of the year, my soul was drawing me towards this work that I'm doing right now. But I was resisting. I was resisting with everything I had. I was resisting. And the reason why I was resisting was that this was the work that I was doing in 2017 when I burnt out. And so I had literally coded into my brain that if I immerse myself into this work, I will burn out. I won't be appreciated. I will be underrewarded because I'm not going to be able to sustain myself financially with this work. And so many other things that I was telling myself. And so I was then doing a bit of it on the side and then doing other things that wasn't necessarily soul work. I wasn't living in alignment with my calling, if I'm to put that right. And so I really had to realize, number one, to surrender to Allah. And number two, to realize, and I shared this earlier in the year, that the effort comes from me, but the results come from Allah. And being somebody who was an adrenaline junkie, thrives under pressure, you feel as though it is your energy. It is the work, it's you. You literally work in such a way that you forget that it is Allah. You work in such a way you forget that the rizq, the barakah comes from Allah. And for me, that barakah is you put this amount of energy and Allah multiplies it by, you know, in multitudes and manifolds. And so we need to stop working as though it's the energy that we are putting in that is going to be direct, that's directly going to translate into the result. Does everybody understand what I mean by that? Because that in and of itself drives us to keep driving ourselves into the ground. And instead of us to realize that, do you know what? This risk is coming from Allah. So let me just do this. This is enough. This is sufficient for me. And Allah, the barakah will come from Him. Everything that I want, by putting in this, it will come from it. So Sister Rahima is saying that I used to focus on the results. Results such as outcome. I know better now, though, alhamdulillah. Okay, so I can see some comments coming in before. Oh, my gosh. All right. All right, so let me go back a bit because I missed some of the comments. So I took a six-month break, and alhamdulillah, I am, sorry guys, I'm having a bit of a cold. I took a six-month break, and alhamdulillah, I am at a better place now. Taking a break, so I say this all the time, sometimes we have to take a step back to move forward. And another one that my coach always says to me is that, you know, when you press stop, something about when you press stop on a machine, it stops. When you press stop on a human being, you start working. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, but basically stopping yourself, it really does help you to get started again. And so we have to take step back to move forward. So I tend to leave things unfinished due to the fear of failure. Yep. And it further drives it. So the more you leave things unfinished, the more you don't follow through, the more you don't see the results that you want, the more you kind of like you justify your behavior. So we don't allow ourselves to take breaks. So BS says that I push myself so much because if I didn't do things, no one would do it. I already feel the burnout, and I have decided after this conference, I have to block time for myself. for my self-care, enough is enough. Yes, sis, you have literally just said something that, again, is what a lot of us do, which is thinking that if we don't do it, no one else can. And that often is not true. If, and I do it, also being a perfectionist also is something that isn't necessarily a good trait, that we, that, that one can, you know, get into the space where no one can do it like I can. No one can do it like I can. And so if I can't do it, and so you push yourself, even with staff, learning how to delegate, not using your staff, not, and it's not always true. And also sometimes you have to realize that you have to train people, you have to teach people, and you have to remove your eye. As Yoruba people will say, Mujukuru, you have to remove your eye. Sometimes, yes, it's not going to be exactly how you want it to be, but stop being OCD. It doesn't have to be. Your way is not the only way. If you are not there, people will eat. If you are not there, things will happen. If you are not there, do you understand what I mean? It will get done. It may not get done the way you want it, but you need to try and start to discipline yourself to just let it go and just be like, it's okay. Trust me, this is something that I'm still learning, this particular one. And I went away with some of my girlfriends 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh my God, my OCD was like 100. Well, I was literally going and like arranging the fridge and all that. I was like, Zara, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's like, no, all of the drinks need to be on the door. Why is it all over the place? You know, you just have to learn how to let go. It will be fine. People will eat. Things will happen. It doesn't have to go the way you want it to go, because you need to give yourself a break as well. So thank you for sharing that. Oh, this is a deep one. I didn't believe I was worth a break. That's a big one as well. That is a big one as well, where we don't give ourselves permission. We feel like we need to have achieved X, Y, X, Y, X, Y, X, Y, X, Y, Z before we are allowed to rest. And again, that's a limiting belief that we need to break. The mental load we carry as women, such mothers, is phenomenal. I'm feeling triggered. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Yeah, we take on a lot. And I think that we don't even realize how much we take on. We don't even realize how much we take on until it's too late, because we're so used to being able to cope. We're so used to coping and coping and coping that we don't even realize how much of a burden that we're putting on ourselves. So wasting time and effort pursuing the wrong thing, even though I know no knowledge is useless, but it's so annoying. And for me, this is where living in alignment with your higher purpose is so important. Living in alignment with the things you value the most is so important, because when you do that, you'll never feel as though you're wasting time or you're doing the wrong thing. I'll repeat that. When you're living in alignment with the things that are most important to you, pursuing the wrong thing won't happen, because you won't. So for example, there's a project that I've been doing that I know I've outgrown. Yeah, so this is also part of saying no, guys. Realizing when you've outgrown a project, realizing when either it's time to take a break, you've outgrown it and you want to leave it behind, or you need to pivot and evolve. And you can only do that when you take time to just center yourself and really get, I don't know how to explain this properly, aside from just doing it, like literally sitting down, breathing, assessing all the things that you do and asking yourself, what is the most important thing for me in this season that I'm in? And which of these things align with it and which of these things don't? And letting go of things that you have outgrown is different from not following through with something you should be doing. So make the distinction. This is something I want to do, but I need to put a certain amount of energy into it to follow through, to see it through to the end. This is something that I no longer want to do, and so I need to let go of it. And a lot of the time, do you know what we do instead? The thing that we should be doing, and working on consistently, we don't do it. We procrastinate, and we instead fill our days with things that we don't even want to be doing. But because somebody, oh, what would they say? Oh, I don't want to let this person down. You leave the work that is for your soul. You leave the work that you want to be doing, where you should be putting your energy into. And instead, you pour your energy into this thing that you have outgrown, that you no longer want to be doing, that you're doing out of a sense of obligation. And so your energies are mismatched. And we need to get back to a place where we are living in alignment with our higher purpose and calling. And so we need to sit down and do the work to realize, what is it that I really want? And I did this at the start of 2020. What do I want to dedicate my life and my time to? And the answer kept coming up. And I kept saying, oh, this is not the answer that I want. I don't know if you guys have ever done this before, where you're searching for something, but that's not necessarily the one you want, but that's the one that keeps coming. Listen to yourself and say, okay, it's not the one that I necessarily want, but it seems as though this is the thing that I need to be immersing myself into. So this other thing that my brain wants, but my heart doesn't want, let me put it on pause, or let me see how I can wind back my obligations in it, so that this other thing that scares me a bit, that I don't know how it's gonna, that I need to rely on Allah for, I can commit myself to this work and put in that work that is needed to be able to get the results that I seek. Yeah? So I would like everybody to take a second to think about, what does blooming look like to you? What does blooming look like to you? What does it look like to not be driven off of pressure, stress, adrenaline, frantic energy? What does it look like to wake up, be excited about your day, things to be in sync, things to be in a state of flow, things are working? What does that look and feel like to you? What does that look and feel like to you? You know, one of the things that I've always said is that I want to be able to work from anywhere. I want to be able to wake up after Fajr, go back to bed. I want to be able to start my day at 10 a.m. That's something I've said this from when I was my early 20s. I've said that, you know, my ideal time to start my day is 10 a.m. And so if I have to be doing anything that requires me to be up and about by 7 o'clock, I just feel so like weighed down. I feel so weighed down. I would love to, even though I still try sometimes, oh, you know, it'd be good to be an early riser, go for a walk, this, that, whatever. But I find that I'm most happy when I can start my day at 10, for example. But there's a certain lifestyle you need to be living to be able to start your day at 10 o'clock. Not everybody has the luxury to do that. I want to be able to work from anywhere. If I want to come and live in London for 3 months and be in Nigeria and then go to Singapore, I want to be mobile. I want to be able to do all my work from my phone. So these are like, what does blooming look like to you? I want to be able to say, oh, this quarter, you know what? I'm just going to go spend 2 weeks in Morocco. That flexibility, that ownership of my own time and my space. What does blooming look like to you? Let me have a look at some of the comments.
Can I just jump in here? Just,
yes.
You know, as you're talking about blooming and being in flow and just being, I'm not pushing. We've talked a lot about, you know, just being pulled rather than pushing and, you know, and I completely get it. And it reminds me of how different the conversations usually are for entrepreneurs, especially with masculine energy, because I'm hearing a lot of feminine energy coming through here. And I'm thinking, oh, Grant Cardone would not approve of this. Gary Vaynerchuk would not approve of this, because it's so kind of opposite to what we, especially when men talk about entrepreneurship and getting it, you know, like get the bag and like get it and, you know, like push yourself and like no sleep and, you know, that yeah. push energy, yeah. which kind of has dominated the entrepreneurial space for a long time. Yeah.
I feel like as you're speaking, I'm thinking of people like Amy Porterfield, people like Sunny Lenarduzzi, who herself had a breakdown and ended up in hospital. And so many women finding that that particular way of push, testosterone fueled, you know, kind of like going for success and going for it, it doesn't actually work for us. I don't know whether it works for men, but for us as women, it doesn't work for us. And this kind of flow energy and this blooming that you're talking about, which I absolutely love that phrase, it seems to be more in alignment with, you know, sort of who we are as women. Would you think that's the case?
100%. So, you know, this idea of feminine energy is something that my coach, you know, brought to my attention. Actually my business coach, and then she realized that, do you know what, my business coaching sessions went beyond that. It went to a place where she started talking about energy, feminine energy, tapping into my feminine energy. So it says here, move to a place of blossom. Like, you need to 100%, Sister Naima. And I think that for so long I've been in my masculine energy. That was how I have thrived up until this point. And you remember when I said that when I burnt out in 2017, all the things that I used to do to be able to get myself out of a rut, to push myself, it wasn't working. And that was literally it. I didn't realize it then. I didn't have the language for it then. It's just this year that I'm really getting myself into understanding, you know, what it means to get into your feminine energy, to get into a flow state. But that was it. I was coming again with that brute force. So I'll share some examples of masculine and feminine energy here. I was coming with that brute force, that, you know, deadlines, this, that. I'm like, no. And that wasn't what my soul needed. I needed to tap into a place of grace, of flow, of calm. And I will read, a letter that I shared earlier in this, in I think it was sometime in June. But let me, I'm trying to find room in energies. Okay, do you know what? I think that's going to be better because I'm not prepared for it. It's going to be better to, okay, so we have here masculine energy. So we have logical thought, mind, decisive action, risk-taking, achieving, controlling, competitive, intellectual, giving, feminine energy, intuitive feeling, senses, creativity, nurturing, experiencing, being, collaborating, expressing, receiving. So those are some of like the distinctions between the two. Let me have a look at some of the comments coming in, because I'm seeing some amazing comments coming in. Blooming is doing what I love daily and living in serenity, knowing that I put in my part for the day. Blooming to have help with my baby and my house chores so that I can sit in my study and get work done. We are women. We are not meant to be acting as men. Blooming, not feeling like I'm always chasing my tail. Yep, I'm feeling relaxed. Men have less mental load. Male privilege. Woo! I'm not sure about that one, Sister Salwa. I think that they have a different type of mental of load. And I will always say that I will take my load over my husband's load any day, because I see him grinding day in, day out. And I'm like, I cannot do what you do. But he says the same thing to me. He can't do what I do. And it just makes me feel like Allah is just perfect, because he has created each person according to, and giving us our rights and our roles and our obligations according to how he has created us and what is suited for us. Because I can't do it. Paying school fees, rent, this is Nigeria. It's not being, subhanAllah. Okay, living and doing everything in obedience to our creator is blooming, fantastic. Blooming, making a difference as opposed to just doing mundane work. I love that. Seeing that I am planting seeds and watching them grow beautifully, love it. Salwa, this is about energy more than about men and women, which is different. Yeah, so exactly, Sister Naima. So it's about the energy you bring to things. So instead of, it's saying like a giving energy, of receiving energy. So giving, that giving energy is you tapping into your masculine energy. But can we tap into our feminine energy and receive? and receive. Don't feel like you need to give all the time. Can you step into a place where you're receiving? People are giving to you. So that's like an example of the energies. And it also, you have to realize that everyone has both. Like you can also, you also have masculine energy, men have feminine energy. So it's just about that balance and the alignment. So blooming for me is keeping my intentions in alignment with my purpose to serve Allah. I love that, Sister Jamila, and not my nafs. This masculine energy combo reminds me of serving the self more ego-based. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. So thank you so much, Sister Naima, for mentioning the energies. And it's definitely, as I said, it's a new area for me. It's something that I'm very excited about exploring. And it's something that has also led me to, you know, my gardening. That's me trying to tap into a more feminine energy, nurturing energy. Because even me as a mum, I know for sure that I am more of a go kind of person. I don't know how to explain it, to the point where I feel like once my kids stop breastfeeding, I'm not as, I have to really work at being nurturing. I don't know if that makes sense. I have to really work at being nurturing, subhanAllah. So I wanted to read a little passage for you all. From the soulful, so I send out soulful letters to my soulful community every Friday, and there's this one that I shared in June called "Blooming: Trials, Breakthroughs, and New Beginnings." Yeah, and I'm just going to read out some parts to you because I think it really explains, it really sums up the experience I've been in so far. And inshallah, I can then go on to share some of the practical tools and steps that I have been doing to break my boob and bust cycle and really step into this blooming energy and cycle that, you know, alhamdulillah, I've really been living in alignment with this year. And I've been seeing the results in such a different way, alhamdulillah. Okay, so let me say... So this week for me has been about trying to align my energy with this new phase of life that I found myself in, blooming. I feel like for the longest time, I've been in a place where I was buried and fighting every day to break through the soil in search of light, to find myself, my direction, and my purpose in life. I love using analogies from nature. After all, our Lord has told us numerous times in the Quran that in his creation are signs for those who reflect. And so I embraced this struggle and surrendered to my season of being planted. I visualized myself as a lonely seed in the depths of the dark soil, struggling to germinate and break through to the light. I embraced the struggle. I did all I could to survive and break through. Alhamdulillah, now I feel I'm past that stage. My stems are strong. My roots are firmly planted, and I know what I want. I've weathered the storms and thrived despite the weeds which threatened to stifle my growth. I shed my old leaves, and I have grown back new, stronger, and more vibrant leaves. My flowers have budded, and I feel it is time, it is my time to shine, my time to blossom. But guess what? I've become so used to the struggle, fighting off weeds and thriving in hard conditions that I don't know how to embrace the subtle beauty and art of blossoming effortlessly with grace and poise. This week, it hit me hard. It's not the same energy a seed uses to germinate that a flower uses to bloom. And so I've had to take a huge step back and realize that the grunt work has been done. The sweat and tears and the heartache have come and gone. I paid my dues in that respect for now. May Allah grant us ease and goodness because those trials come. But for now, I've paid my dues. That this new phase in my life will require a different type of commitment. A different type of energy. It will require a gentle approach. It will require stillness and vulnerability. It will require soul work and connection. It will require grace and poise. It will require a peaceful ebb and flow. It will require tapping into my feminine energy. It would require silence to tune into the signs and directions of my Lord. It will require intuition and self-belief. It will require meaningful relationships and deep bonds. It will require getting comfortable, digging deep, and being satisfied with less quantity for richer quality. I'm going to read that again. It will require getting comfortable, digging deep, and being satisfied with less quantity for richer quality. It will require me to go to a place within myself that only shows up in special moments, moments when I'm my most authentic self, living in full alignment with my purpose and in servitude to my Lord and Him alone. That is why this week I started shedding the baggage and ensuring that everything and everyone I give my energy to is deserving of it, ensuring that I was operating from a place of awe and wonder and not from a place of fear and stress, and just embracing the feeling of being here in this moment, creating, writing, cultivating, and investing in myself so I can add value to the lives of those I hold dear and create moments like this right here, directly from my soul. Alhamdulillah. So that was a long read. But if you are on my mailing list, you would have received this. And I resent this out again last Friday when I was reflecting and preparing for this session. And inshallah, I will share actually the link to sign up to the mailing list, inshallah. And we will send this out again next week. But I think that this is it, soulful list. I can't even remember.
I think The best thing, inshallah, is to put the link in the Facebook group.
And okay.
So that, are you a Bitly user? Yes.
Oh, Bitly all the way. I think that's the link. But I'll definitely put it. I'll put the link to this particular email as well, as to how you can sign up. Because for me, I think that this was the turning point for me. So after you do the work, but it takes a while to really get it and connect all the dots. It takes a while to get to that place where you're sure that, do you know what? This is on purpose. Allah has put me here on purpose. Like, all this that I'm experiencing is on purpose. And really leaning into that and seeking to understand. And, you know, I say that, you know, being in awe and wonder, curiosity is such a beautiful, what do we call it? Is it like a state? It's such a beautiful state to be in. It's such a beautiful state to be in, because you open yourself up in a way that you're not judgmental. You're not judging yourself. You're seeking to understand and to learn and to evolve and to grow and to really, I keep saying this thing about living in alignment, and to really live in alignment with where you are now, where Allah wants you to be. And to be literally be taking those steps in the right direction, because you're listening to Allah, you're listening, you're watching His signs, and you're doing those, you're making those sacrifices, because it's not always easy. You know, a lot of the time you're making certain sacrifices and doing things differently, you're moving away from your comfort zone. But in doing those things, in surrendering to Allah, in really imbibing this tawakkul into your life and into your journey, you live such a more wholesome life. Where, and exactly what I said, the quantity might be less, but the quality is so much richer. And so I had to let go of a lot to get to that point where I'm like, okay, this is what my blooming is. And for me to really get to into my blooming state, I need to shed all of this baggage, all of this baggage in terms of what I've committed my time. Sorry, I've literally like have a block though. Sorry, guys. I had to shed the baggage. And that's the same thing again that I want you to do. So there's a couple of things, tasks, guys. I'm going to, inshallah, I will do a summary in the Facebook group, inshallah. Firstly, trying to realize and examine what is it that you're afraid of? What is it that's holding you back from really stepping into this space of blooming that you ideally want to be in? Number two, what does your blooming look like in this season? Because we have to realize that blooming will look different for you depending on what season in life you're in. So really ask yourself, what does blooming look like for you in this season? And what do I need to let go of? What do I need to shed in order for me to really live in alignment with the space that I'm striving to be? And the last part of what I would really like to share with you is some of the practical steps to get from that point A to point B. Firstly, disclaimer, it takes time. So please don't try and rush. Don't try and rush your healing journey. Yeah, I'll post it in the Facebook group, inshallah. Don't rush your healing journey. Don't try and rush the process. Because tapping into this energy, let's call it the feminine energy, it's intuition. Yeah? You have to be expressive. You're not rushing. You're not trying to get to some destination. You're literally living in the now, in the process, in the journey, and enjoying the different, the ebbs and the flows as it's happening. Don't be goal oriented. It's not about where you're trying to go per se, but it's living that journey and enjoying the process of creating, of getting to where you're going. You know, you need to enjoy the journey. Don't just be focused on where you're going. How can you move to a place where you're enjoying the process of getting to where you want to go to? And so one of the first things that I have shared here to really be able to get to that place is being in tune with yourself, but also identifying your triggers. Being in tune with yourself, but also identifying your triggers, because when you're trying to shift from a like personality trait that has been so ingrained that you've been so used to, you will fall back into old habits. And when things start getting tough, you will fall back into the habits that you were used to, that you've always been in. So you need to realize what your triggers are. You need to realize what are those habits and traits that when you start doing them, you're falling back. And so you need to be able to then auto-correct. And for instance, one of the things for me, the biggest things for me, and this happened to me during Ramadan. This happened to me during Ramadan because I took on a mega project during Ramadan. And I burnt myself out to the point where I was already like manic. Like literally I had like hypomania. That was how, because my burnout comes, what comes before my burnout is a highly manic, adrenaline driven state where I feel invincible. Because whatever it is I'm doing, I'm like superwoman. I feel I can jump up a building at that point in time, subhanAllah. Immediately after that, it comes with a crash. And that happened during Ramadan to the point where I wrote it here. Like I told my husband, I'm like an industrial machine. Like once you switch me on, you can't just put me off. Like industrial machines, you can't just be switching it on and off. Like once it's on, you literally need to like wind it down, like gradually. It was crazy because I wasn't sleeping. So not sleeping is like a big one for me. So you have to realize what are those signs that you're getting back into a state where it's not healthy for you. And a big one for me is not sleeping, forgetting to eat. When people say they forget to eat, guys, that's a thing. That's actually a thing. You can actually forget to eat. And that was something that was also happening to me. And I literally had to write down, I'm picking it up. So I literally had to write down my steps to recover from my burnout. And one of the big ones, the first thing on my list was deleting WhatsApp temporarily. And when I went had my retreat last weekend as well, I was off WhatsApp for like 5.5 days. Like I deactivated it because WhatsApp is a huge stress trigger for me. And your trigger could be Twitter, it could be Instagram, it could be your phone in general. You just want to throw your phone into a drawer somewhere for a week. But for me, deleting WhatsApp, I had to literally write down, switching my phone off for a minimum of 12 hours every day, creating a 2-hour window in a day where I can then deal with urgent tasks. You know, and I literally had to write down the things, the steps that I needed to take to be able to get back into alignment. Okay, so I'm gonna step back a bit because I've said like 3 things all in one. Yeah. Some of the practical steps for you to, if you are trying to recover from a burnout state, yeah, is make sure that you always stay in tune with yourself. Always stay in tune with yourself and always try and get a sense of what is causing you stress and anxiety in this moment. And sometimes it is literally, it can be something as little as, oh, like for instance, this happens with me on the weekends. I have my Quran classes on the weekend. And if I haven't done my homework, I'm like stressing out all day because I haven't done my homework and my class is at 7 p.m. And really all I need to just do is get up and do my homework. And that anxiety is gone. So that's like an example. But I had to tune in and realize that that was what was happening. And so in order for me to not be stressing out the whole of my Saturday because I haven't revised my Quran and I haven't done my hips and I haven't done this and that and whatever, and I'm thinking, oh, should I cancel my class? Carve out an hour to just get that done. So make sure that you are listening to yourself and listening to your needs. Sometimes it's, oh, you know, I'm in bed all day and the kids want to play. They've been knocking at the door. They want to do something with me. And I'm like, ugh, I'm feeling guilty that I'm not doing anything with them and this and that. Instead of just sitting in that guilt, stop procrastinating and just say, you know what? I'm just going to go out and play with the kids. So a lot of the times, the tensions and stresses that we feel come from a place of us putting things off that we find that is valued. So for instance, either it comes from a place of filling our time with the things that we don't value and we're filling our time with it, or the things that we do value, we're not giving enough attention to it. Is everyone still there? I'm not seeing any comments. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? So that's why we have to try and, yes, awesome. That's why whenever you're feeling off, try and to step back and just get in tune with yourself and think about, okay, what is it that is important to me that I'm not doing, that I'm putting off, and so it's causing me stress? Or what is it that I'm doing that is not important to me and I'm like, you know when you're doing something that you're like, oh, this thing, I don't want to be doing it. Then let go. Yeah? So undervalue, overvalue, making sure you're in sync with those things. Number three, I don't even know what number I'm on anymore. Identifying the triggers. What are the things that are triggering you? For me, it's WhatsApp. And so when I start getting overwhelmed, I know WhatsApp needs to be deactivated or I need some time away from my phone. Identify your triggers. Autocorrect. How do you autocorrect? You set boundaries. And I love to do these boundary circles. Yeah? So I've literally written here, self-care boundary circle. So what are the things that you will be doing? So inside your circle, you write out the things that you're allowed to do, the things that help you stay grounded, that will fill you up, that will help you to feel replenished. And outside the circle, you write the things that you're not allowed to do, the things that are depleting your energy, that are draining you. And you try and make sure that you're living in alignment with that as well. So set your boundaries, extremely important. I know I'm rushing through it, but I wanted to make sure that I say that. Boundary setting is so important when it comes to self-care, because a lot of the time, the tension we feel comes from us exerting energy into things that we don't want to be doing. exerting energy into areas of our life that are not important to us. And then we feel resentment and we feel the stress and we feel all sorts of emotions because of that. So making sure that we're setting boundaries and owning our boundaries and not being apologetic about those boundaries, because they are vital to your well-being. And the third thing that I've written down here is establishing healthy self-care routines. So what are your pick-me-up activities? What are your pick-me-up activities? And put a time frame to it. I love Sister Rahima said she does things on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. What are those activities that you can do daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually? So write a list of pick-me-up. So just write pick-me-up activities. And I have daily pick-me-up activities. So whenever I'm feeling in a rut, and I've literally written that here, have morning routine here, and I have evening bedtime routine here. And they're just a list of different things that if I literally just come, if I'm feeling in a rut, I just come and I'm like, do you know what? Let me just start from number one. And once I've done 2-3 things on the list, I'm already feeling better. So things like starting your day on time with Fajr, doing your morning adhkar, oil pulling. So like oil pulling, tongue scraping, and brushing my teeth in the morning. Silence, just being in silence, listening to like these sounds of like maybe the waves, the ocean. Journaling, reading, doing my visualizations, doing my affirmations, doing some exercise, maybe going for a walk, having a shower, drinking water, drinking a cup of green tea. These are like activities that they seem so mundane. They seem so mundane, but if we start our day doing them, or if we do that when we start feeling down, they pick you up and make you feel better. And make you feel better. So what are the things that you might want to do on a weekly basis? What are the things that you might want to do on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis? And create a list of activities. Because trust me, when you're in it, you forget. I don't know what happens. It's like you forget how to look after yourself, subhanAllah. When you're in it and you're just there, you're like, oh, you're just in bed, you're just Netflixing. Literally, that's all you can think to do. But there are other things that are more, that are healthier, that will actually fill you up. Spending time with the kids, taking the kids swimming, taking them out to the park. You know, write them down. And whenever you're feeling low, whenever you're feeling stressed, go to your list and do you know what? And say, do you know what, guys? Even if it's your family, you say, do you know what? Mommy's having 30 minutes. Or mommy's having an hour, and you lock yourself up in your room, or you go out for your walk, and you just do those things. Trust me, you will feel so much better and be able to then give. So, you know, again, what, you know, something that I learned from Friday's session is serving from your overflow. Fill yourself up first, and then you will see that the giving is not even, you're not resenting it anymore, because you've taken the time that you need for yourself. And so you don't feel so bogged down by having to cook or having to clean or having to make dinner. You can start to enjoy those things because you have given yourself what you need. So that is a bit of a summary, sisters, of how, subhanAllah, I have been able to start to step away from that boom and bust cycle into a more blooming cycle and state of being. It's sometimes we forget, so as I said, Ramadan came, and Ramadan was like my test, because I went back to that place of drawing from adrenaline. And alhamdulillah, within a week, I was able to auto-correct, even though the damage was done. And I remember having to write down, you know, what are the signs? What are the things that I can do to get back to that state? So alhamdulillah, so what I would say is that by being conscious of this phenomenon, by being conscious that, you know, I don't do well just thriving off of adrenaline, I was able to identify when it happened. Whereas in the past, I would have kept driving myself until the end of Ramadan, and then I would have been, right now, you wouldn't be seeing me, guys. It would take minimum 6 months fully offline. Because I'll be that drained, minimum 6 months. But alhamdulillah, I was able to identify it and slam on the brakes and set the boundaries and take the action steps I needed to get back into a healthy state of being. So by doing this work, sisters, you will find that gradually, you're adding to your toolbox to be able to deal with those moments. I'm so sorry, guys. I have a really bad blocked nose. To be able to deal with those moments when they come. But be conscious of the fact that you don't have to draw from frantic energy. You don't have to draw from frantic energy. You don't have to come from a place of stress and pressure. You can start to step into a space where you're calmer, you're in control. I remember my mantra for 2018, 2019 was, my life is filled with peace and tranquility. That was my mantra. My life is filled with peace and tranquility, because I really needed to code into my brain that salam, that sakina is all that I needed. That was enough for me. So do the work to really not only realize what you want and what is enough for you ultimately, but to then commit to it. To commit to it. What is it that you truly, really want? Commit to it and live in alignment with that. And whenever things come that are not in alignment with it, have the courage to say, I would love to do it. I would love to do it, but it is not. It doesn't align with where I am right now. This isn't for me right now. And give yourself that power to be able to make those choices for yourself. And you will see, subhanAllah, that gradually you're no longer just like living for other people. You're no longer being driven by what society says you should be doing, but you're living so much more wholesomely. And you may not have as much as the people seem to have around you, but you're happy with that and you're content because you know why you are choosing to do what you're doing. You know why you are choosing to make the sacrifices that you're making and why you're choosing to run your business in a certain way that you're running it, or take on a certain career path that you're taking on. Because you're like, yes, I could be trying to, you know, work for a big four, work for one of the magic six or whatever they're called, law firms, you know, work to be a partner, but that's not what my soul wants. And so I'm going to choose to do this, which may seem like a step down to people around me, but I'm so much more fulfilled in this space that I'm in. So I think that I'm going to leave it there, inshallah. There's so much more that, you know, we can still share with you all. But if you would like to continue this work with me, I see some of my Umfariha preemies in the room. Shout out to you. Alhamdulillah. It's amazing to see you here. But if you would like to continue doing this work with me and my community, this is what I'm committing myself to. And it's taken a while to get to this point where I'm like, okay, this is what I want to do. But I'm taking that leap. And I'm like, this is where I want to commit myself to. Helping women to rewire their personal potential through their connection with the deen, with Allah. You know, living in that state of tawakkul where you're trusting Allah, where you're relying on Him for all that you do. And we have our tawakkul circle, inshallah, coming up on Tuesday. And we also have our premium membership community that's open. And we're doing this work. And we're doing this work, helping our members to figure out what are the things that they value the most and how can they live in alignment with their values and their ultimate purpose. Of the ultimate purpose of being an abd of Allah and being in servitude to Allah through the work that they do, and live in a state of an abundance mentality whereby you realize and you accept and you truly live by that ethos that the effort comes from me, but the result comes from Allah. and that rizq has been written, and that barakah comes from Allah. And you can put in this amount of effort and Allah will multiply it more than if you put in all this effort and you're like, where's the results coming? Allah will give you that result that you're looking for. But make sure that you are also committing to the things that you should be committing to and living in a way that's pleasing to our Rabb. So I'm going to leave it there. Sister Naima, over to you. Thank you so much for inviting me onto this platform and giving me an opportunity to do what I love to do best and to serve the women of your community. May everything that I've shared be a benefit to you all. This is just the beginning, sisters. It's just the tip of the iceberg. It is a continual journey. As I said, I burnt out 2017 and it took me 2 years to really recover. And this year has really been me living all of the lessons that I've learned. So I'm excited to work with you all as well, to be part of your journeys to yourself and to Allah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for being here. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, wow. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Guys, just express your appreciation in the chat, inshallah. That was phenomenal. Jazakallah kullu khair for, you know, your time, for your effort, for your heart, you know, for you know, sharing so much with us and just for dropping so many gems. Guys, you've been amazing. This has been a really powerful session. Please, please, please do connect with Sister Zahra in the Facebook group. You know, join her list, join her programs, you know, continue to learn from her, inshallah, and make dua. We make dua for you and your family and ask that Allah continues to bless you to be able to do this work. We are so blessed, sisters. Like, oh my goodness, wow, mashallah, that we get to do this work. And that we get to be able to work with each other in this way, mashallah. So I want to just wrap it up there now, ladies. Inshallah, I'll see you at 1 o'clock for my session on If You Had 6 Months to Live. It will be a short and powerful workshop, inshallah. And then inshallah, you'll be able to go and pray and have lunch and all of that, inshallah. But Sister Zahra, jazakallah khairan, my dear.
Ayyakum.
It's amazing. We'll see you at the next session, guys. Subhanallahumma rabbana
wa bihamdika. Wa alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Bye, everyone.